Of course, yes. Yeah, I understand. Anyway, let's say that the capitalist power is based on what I call biopolitical pervasion. What means that daily life is permeated, is pervaded by the language, is pervaded. You can tell me also communist rule and so on and so on. Anyway, I don't know if there is life beyond capitalism. That is the present question, the present game. If there is no life beyond capitalism, there is no life. Full point. Fukushima is the future, right? So I hope that there is life beyond.
After Fukushima,
we should no. Sorry, we should. I should moderate that. Ivo has a question now. Okay. First, he
okay.
Is, okay.
Should I try in English? Anyway, when you go sailing and the wind is very powerful, you have to decide as a captain when to save the boat and how you save the boat by releasing the sail. When it's very turbulent, the weather, and you go sailing with a boat. Когато ветроходците го знаят от опит, когато е много силен вятъра, капитана трябва много точно прецени кога да пусне платното. Where to release. And the command is release. Let go. Yes. Yes, right. Let go. And this is very crucial. When the captain says, let go. Because by releasing the power of the sail, you save the boat and the crew. The second metaphor that I want to use is if the train of the capitalist society, of our perception for what is true life, is as a train which is accelerating, because you said they keep printing money. Even in the European Union, they invent new means of printing money, virtual money. Like the internet. Internet was invented for other reasons, but then the commercial world take over and start creating even more money, accelerating the capitalist agenda. So if you're on a train and you have to jump, you see that the train is going against the wall, the first thing that you have to change is your perception of future. You have to stop the time and decide when and how to make this turn and jump off the train. And you said something very important about our misconception of future as human beings. And if you look at the animals, before we became humans, the animal has no conception of future. Lives inside the time as it is. So this jump off the train is very crucial for us to get off the mentality of human beings and become animals in a way and go back to the organic. And by saying organic, I mean also Silvio Gesell and all the money systems that were experimenting after the First World War. And if you know, in Bulgaria, after the Balkan War, after the First World War, before the Second World War, there was very powerful movement of cooperatives, small rural cooperatives that are really working small societies. When the communists came in 45, they killed that. That was the first thing that they see, that this is the fruitful part of the society, and they eradicated it.
Many people will claim they were the first one killed by the communists.
Yes.
It's not only this group.
Anyway, so I think that there is future, And this future is exactly what you finished, like one of your sentences, that autonomy is the key word. Autonomy of small communes, small minorities, and they have to survive. Which means I don't want to talk inside this society very loud about the agenda of those small future minorities. It's better to go out in the rural environment and start creating something, because this is the future. And you give some examples about those virtual monies, new tools of information, of labor exchange. And I strongly believe that this is the future. And I think that the key word is that we have to strip the money as a concept from what capital is expanded. The term money was expanded. In the beginning, 3,000 years ago, money was one thing, but now money is totally different realm. So we have to strip the money to one informational mean, to a tool. That's it.
First of all, thank you for this really interesting presentation. I want to add some things just as my points of view. You finished with the idea that the end of capitalism is not the end of the world. I think even more that the end of the capitalism will be the salvation of the world. So we should think how it can happen, because I really don't believe that it will happen just like that, just capitalism will destroy itself together with us, and it will be not the end of the world. Yes, it will not be, but we need somebody who is trying to make a resistance. So my question is, I don't want you to tell me what I must follow, but I'm wondering what you prefer, because you gave very good examples from Argentina, from other places of the world, of self-organization, of solidarity networks, of direct democracy, and also you gave the examples of nationalization, or the things that state doing. So the thing that I want to say is that nationalization we saw here before in Bulgaria, in the countries like Bulgaria, and it was done by the state that called itself socialist state, but in my opinion it was just state capitalism called socialism. So it was not done by the people. And for me, this is not a decision. Maybe it is good in this moment for Latin America, in this moment, but it's not the decision for the future. So my question is, what you prefer as a person? You prefer the state to act, or you prefer people to act? Because me personally, I prefer people to act and to encourage people to act together with other people to organize themselves. And when we speak about the Sex Pistols No Future and the future in general, I will not say no future. I will not say also that the future will be best. I will say that the future is doing now, in this moment. And what we must fight is this future to depend from ourselves, from our children, for our children. I mean the decision for the future of my children to be taken by me, not by someone else that don't know my children. We must decide what must be the school, we must decide what must be the kindergarten, we must decide what must be the park, and where we will have this. Me and my children, and the other people and the other children. So this is the future, and you should take this future from some other people who create the things for us and for them, but without asking us. So my question is, what do you prefer in these processes?
Actually, I don't prefer anything, because you quoted the nationalization as a way which implies the dominance of the state, and you are totally right. At the same time, sometimes it happens that nationalization creates a good possibility for people to create forms of self-organization and so on. Let's say that we don't have, I don't have, but I guess nobody has at the moment the right solution for the present crisis of capitalism. Of course, I agree with you when you say that in the alternative between trusting the state or trusting the people, we cannot trust the state, because we know what the state has been as an authoritarian form, and also we know that the state is totally functional to the capitalist rule. At the same time, I am not so confident in the people. I mean, when you say the people, I try to understand better what do you mean. It's not the mythology of the folk, of the authentic being of people are the product of, for instance, of media power, of the biopolitical transformation of daily life. Actually, I don't expect so much by the free expression of the people. I expect much more by the sort of how can I say of struggle for life, which is coming. In this situation, I think that when I say the artists are coming. You see, art is becoming more and more a central form of activism, and the Berlin Biennale. Totally dedicated to art activism, documenta about the new forms of autonomy, artists occupying theaters and build public buildings everywhere. But who are artists? And why do they call them artists? I think that artists are those people who imagine new forms of life. And artists also in the semi-capital society, in a society in which more and more production is production of science, is semi-production, is production of information, of style, and so on and so on. Artists are the central core of exploited work. So I expect very much by imagination in a condition of collapse. That is my expectations. Of course, this has to connect with the people. I would prefer to say with the society, with the living society, of course.
My next question is about Greek situation, because I've read that Greek have drawn out of the banks their savings, about 900 million euros. And the European Commission now is in stress, and they are thinking about stopping this process of financing Greek economy through banks. So what's your expectations, and what do you think about this, and what kind of decision they should take? Thank you.
I have no suggestions for the Greek population, the Greek government. What, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 5 billion euros as of today in the last week.
Second, a lot of force. Maybe I did not understand. Can you explain me? I don't. I have not. This was totally predictable. And the same is going to happen next in Spain. I mean, so what? This is what happens in this kind of situations. I mean, the collapse is producing more collapses. If we are unable to stop the craziness of mandatory debt, I think that what is happening, I did not know because I cannot read the newspapers here. I don't read the Bulgarian and I cannot find the International Herald Tribune. It's my tragedy these days. So I did not know what you tell me is new for me, but I mean, I was expecting that, of course. And this tragedy is producing more tragedies and so on. The only thing that we can do is to ask for a stop in the accumulation of tragedies. And how says the Christian prayer, rimetti a noi i nostri debiti come noi li rimettiamo i nostri debitori, forgive our debts as we forgive to our debtors. This is not, I mean, this implies really a cultural redefinition of the relationship between South and North, between Catholic and Protestant, guess Orthodox culture in the European framework. You know, Weber says that capitalism is essentially a Protestant thing. It's true if we think that capitalism is the old industrial capitalism, but I think that when it comes to semi-capitalism, to mafia capitalism, to media capitalism, California is essentially a Spanish place. Los Angeles and San Francisco and Hollywood have been the effect of the Baroque Catholic. And so we are dealing with something which is deeply inscribed in the European modern history. And the effect can be really catastrophic if we think that the solution is economic. The solution is not economic. The solution is cultural, philosophic, religious, emotional, is much more than the economy. The mathematical ferocity of the European Central Bank is producing a backlash of violence. We have to stop it, but we cannot stop it in economic terms. And it's very difficult to convince bankers to think in terms that are not economic, I know. And unfortunately, Europe is governed by bankers everywhere. I mean, in Italy, in Spain, in Greece.
Yeah, and the oldest bank currently surviving in Europe is Monte Paschi di Siena, which was founded in Catholic Baroque Italy in 1492. No, just about, not living, surviving. No, I just had two remarks and questions on the last sentence that you used, actually, which is capitalism is dead, we need to invent a vocabulary for life after capitalism. And I suppose my first remark is about the death of capitalism. And I have some suspicion of the a very dichotomic rhetoric between either a complete destruction of the capitalist system or a hoped-for reinvention of society along new lines. It seems to me that it is a very Well, firstly, I think it's important to recognize that the crisis is not a crisis for everybody. The owners of the Greek firms, whose employees have been forced to earn 25% less in their salaries, are very happy about the crisis. The people who are buying up public assets because the states in Europe are being forced to privatize, as in Romania recently, even the healthcare service, are very happy about the crisis. It's opening up new areas of profit to capitalist exploitation, which were undreamt of in the last few months. So it seems to me that beyond just the collapse and the complete rebirth, there is the risk of actually a survival of an even more ferocious form of capitalism, which, simplifying to the extreme, we could call Chinese capitalism in Europe, which is based on a complete destruction of the welfare system as we understand it, a reduction in the living standards, an increased gap between workers and owners of companies, the opening up to profit of that which still holds on to public hands in Europe, welfare state to begin with, but also natural resources. And here in, I think, in Bulgaria, as in Romania, the question of the exploitation of natural resources from shale gas to gold mining to the water systems is a very important aspect. So there is the possibility of a reinvention of capitalism beyond its death along even more ferocious lines, a kind of sustainable ferocious capitalism. Capitalism has been very good at doing this in its history. So I wanted to ask you to maybe just give us a couple of words about this possibility to break this dichotomy between destruction and rebirth or relaunch. The second point that I wanted to bring in, and I'm one of the coordinators of the Trans-Europa Festival at a European level and European Alternatives, so it's one of the reasons, I suppose, and I think it's important to say this, why we're organizing this festival in 15 cities throughout Europe simultaneously, is because we believe that precisely what was being said today is a problem that is of a quintessentially transnational or European nature. All the acts of aggression on the part of the market, on the part of capitalism that have been discussed, I think are very well captured by one example, which is the new European treaty called the Fiscal Compact, which no one has discussed very much in national public spheres. It hasn't been voted by anybody. It hasn't been very present in the public discourse, in the media, in any European country. But the effect that the Fiscal Compact has is to transform into a constitutional requirement, a constitutional law, a particular economic viewpoint. We were used, to simplify to the extreme, to a fight between a certain kind of neoliberal capitalism, which demanded very low public involvement, very low public investment, reduced welfare state, and a more Keynesian or welfarist capitalism, which instead praised the role of the state in the economy, actually. With the Fiscal Compact, we've constitutionalized one of these two options. We no longer have the option of thinking about a Keynesian or a welfarist type of capitalism. Through a European treaty, each of the 27 EU member states is now going to be required by constitution, by national constitution, this will require a change in all the national constitutions, including the constitution of Bulgaria, to have a balanced budget every single year, which means that running a deficit in the state's finances will become illegal. Running a deficit is the prime example of an expansionist, Keynesian, welfarist, capitalist or market-based, social market-based economy. This is now becoming illegal. The way this has been done, and this is a revolution in the political economy of this continent, is through a European treaty which completely bypasses the role of citizens, of everybody in this room and everybody in Europe, and their capacity to have a say about this. There are hundreds of other examples about this, and we're deeply convinced, and this is one of the reasons why we've got the mad idea to have a festival in 15 cities discussing these issues throughout Europe, that the only way to answer this attack is by building up a capacity to develop a transnational political body, a transnational capacity of citizens throughout Europe to act together in response to these attacks, which come already from a transnational and European level. I only want to say, because also I see Constantine there, that this, and this connects to what you were saying also in the necessity to develop a new vocabulary. In my mind, the only way that we can resist this transnational European attack is by developing a transnational political vocabulary which makes people act and mobilize from Portugal to Bulgaria. Yesterday we had a very interesting, I thought, debate on common goods, on the commons, on the attempt to bring together the people protesting against the well, the shale gas, the people protesting against gold mining exploitation, the people protesting against the privatization of public systems, the people protesting against the privatization of the digital economy through the ACTA Treaty, and to try and bring them together, and with people from Serbia, from Romania, from Italy, from Germany, from France, and obviously from Bulgaria. And for me, this is, I wanted to just bring this as an example of the necessity for me to try and construct this transnational political body. You, and here I finish, you may know that today is the beginning of a two-day, three-day protest session in Frankfurt, which is the seat of the European Central Bank. They are witnessing extreme police brutality, extreme breakdown from the police. One of the people that we sent from our crowd has been arrested this morning, 5 hours ago. He's now in prison in Frankfurt, just for walking down the street with a group of the of people that we sent and trying to get into an area where you couldn't access, apparently. But what this Frankfurt tells me is that there is a recognition already in European citizenship that it's important to bring up the fight at a directly European level. And one of the most important European interlocutors or enemies or confrontations that we have is not only with the European institutions, but it's with the European Central Bank. And that's why the choice of Frankfurt today to inaugurate this protest, I think it was absolutely splendid. But I'm sorry for having taken too much time, but maybe saying a little bit about the capacity of capitalism to reinvent itself along even more ferocious lines, and something about the possibility of, maybe I would say the necessity, but the possibility of constructing a European transnational political body to react to this transnational attack, perhaps could be of interest also in the context of this festival. Sorry for taking too long.
Franco, do you have something to respond to Lorenzo right now? All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because
no, but there was another question on upstairs. The waiting line before.
Hello. After this really long discussion, I'm just gonna say sorry for being a little bit naive with the thing I'm going to say, and a little bit optimistic because here there's a little bit of pessimism throughout the discussion. And first of all, I want to say something about the new currency in Ithaca or in every other city they invented it. Isn't this just another predisposition to make another form of capitalism? I mean, changing some currency to another currency is just the same thing. And I really disapprove isolating groups like communities to make small communities and live the life they want from the whole society. Because I think this is something that will bring the society even to an even more degrading state, which is now. So I'm completely against the small communities and their urge to isolate themselves from the contemporary society. And another thing, you are talking about expectations and the future. So isn't this the two words that that all the capitalistic movement and the capitalistic language is based on? So if we have expectations, this is something that is going to lead us to invent some other type of form of society, which I think is going to be just another form of capitalistic life. So there's no need of these words, and I don't think we should think that much of future and expectations. I think that in our society and all the information space, which is moving, and I mean ideas, opinions, etc., which are spreading with a really high rate, really, really fast. So society is making a form of communication beyond the communication that is conscious. So I think by releasing ourselves and our minds from expectations, to leave behind just expectations, to live now and surrender to the present, I think we are going to manage to find our new way of living, instead of just transforming the present and just replacing it with another yet global capitalistic system. It's just going to be, I think, the same thing. And I think just that if maybe all the society thinks in that direction, and that is really the idealistic part, if all the society thinks in that direction and acts now, and this is the way that we are going to invent, because today nobody knows what we could make and with what we could replace the modern days, the modern life. So this is the way we're going to invent it somehow.
Just one small note about what you say on the problem of community currencies, if I understand. I'm not touting, proposing, exalting. I'm just noting that somewhere it happens. Then you say, and I agree with you, that the creation of a community currency does not change fundamentally the dynamics of capitalist exchange and exploitation. That is totally true. I don't want to become scholastic, but I could say that Marx would abhor the idea of community currency, which is a Proudhonian idea by many sense, but it's not the moment of being dogmatic nowadays. It's a moment, it's the moment of experimenting. So at this level, you say it's producing an effect of localization that we don't want. We don't want a reactionary going back to the local community, local values. By this point of view, globalization is a cultural opening that the human kind does not want to forget. We don't want to go back to the local. That I totally agree with you. But note that in the discussion about community currencies, I suggest you to go and see the dyndy.net site, which is a very interesting website. They say, think to the time bank, time bank. You know what the bank, the time bank is? It's an institution which has been very much spreading in the United Kingdom in the 80s, in Italy in the last decades, the creation of a community, a small community in a neighborhood. I come to your house to make gardening, and in exchange you prepare an apple cake for my family. okay? And you teach Spanish to my children, and she, this is the time bank exchanging. Yeah, in the sense of, how do you say it? Huh?
It's not wrong to be primitive.
No, it's not bad, it's barter. One hour of gardening is equal 1 hour of apple cake, 1 hour of teaching Spanish. Absolutely, yes. It's the exchange of 1 hour to 1 hour. But those who have created time banks, good or bad, have said it's good, but it's too narrow. It's only local. I have to know him in order to exchange something at the local level. So the community currency is an attempt to go beyond the locality of the time bank exchange, so that if you go to Amsterdam and you want to buy bread or something, and you go to the bread shop, and you say, I am part of the community, and you, I know that you are part of the community. He goes to the internet at the Bitcoin website, and he sees that you have given 100 hours of your time to the community. So you deserve 100 hours of bread, and he gives you bread for 2 hours. How much you need? You see, so it's. I am not here to sell you the idea. Far from it. But I tell you, there are people, and I am part of them, who are trying to find a way out. And when you look for a way out, you do very strange things. Sometimes you do things that you don't agree totally with. I don't agree totally with money, with community money. But I see that in this experimentation, there is something that will find probably, you know, that guy who was looking for the India, for the Indian continent, and he discovered the United States of America. So it's not bad that, no, actually discovered Mexico, he discovered Cuba. And good discovery, you know, totally wrong by his idea, but it's the way when you are looking for something.
No, first there is a question over there.
Okay, I just want to make a comment on this discussion about currency communities, and then you are going to ask some questions. When it comes to this new wave of alternative money, I think it's good not because this system is maybe a good new system, but people see that there is alternative. Actually, this is, you almost gave the same answer, because it's important people to see that there is some alternative. It doesn't matter, maybe it's going to fail, or maybe it's going to be same wrong as this one, but there is alternative. And I don't know if you read this article on Bitcoin community recently. I don't know, it was online, because it's also interesting way, but they discovered that girls start getting naked in front of web cameras in order to get Bitcoins. So it is like, it was just a matter of time when the same system, let's say, not the same, but almost the same, how you earn money maybe in the real life, is going to also start being available online. So it's also, I don't think, interesting topic to discuss, because now, let's say with prostitutes, there is maybe some control or something like that, but in this way, like when your kid, which is like 14 years old, is getting naked in the room and you don't know even that it's happening, and just to earn this alternative money to do something. So it's also opening a lot of new questions, as these all economies which are raising up from the games, video games, from World of Warcraft, and so on. But I think that it's good people to at least experiment with new possible economies. So we are going to see what's going to happen, and Veselin wants to ask you something.
Thank you for everything, all the information. I think it was very helpful for me. It made me think for a bit, because in today's life we don't have much time to think about so many interesting topics. And if I can share something with you, why we discuss capitalism as we are victims inside the system that we created and we support. Like, everyone here is saying, we are against this, but you go home, you turn on internet, TV, you use cell phone, we spend money every day, and at the same time we complain and say, oh, I'm victim to the system. I'm sure that not the system, but the problem is in us. And we discuss capitalism as people are the only, people are the only beings on planet Earth. And I think that capitalism affects everyone. So, what would you say? Is it a problem with the system or the problem is with us? So, where is the problem? Exactly, but who makes the system? Who is using us? Let's say we say we are victims, but who are these other people that are using us? So, okay, but so if I created capitalism, what is the problem with it? I'm perfectly fine living in it if I created it. Why I want to change it?
I wouldn't use the word natural, but I just. I mean, for one thing, there are no... I mean, I think Franco Berardi said something very important. You know, basically, I mean, it's not a new thing, but he just reiterated there is no outside of capitalism. You know, if capitalism once was just a way of handling life, now capitalism equals life. So if there was a communism / or versus capitalism... You know, after 99, whatever. I mean, you have only one life form right now. You know, that's the problem. So if you have only one life form, and that's called capitalism or neoliberalism, etc., etc. So you have no outside. You have no other forces that create the system with or without the inverted commas. You don't have aliens here. You know, that's my point.
So we're speaking about evolution of a system. Obviously, we have a system, and this is the evolution of a system. And I'm sure that no matter what comes in the future, I'm sure that in 50 years we are going to complain about it as well. And we are not going to be happy because we are not happy with us, with our own existence on planet Earth, the way we deal with it. Exactly, education, all this. So everything is all about this solidarity, like to treat other people well and good in the same way as we expect others to treat us. So no matter what system we call it, if we have this towards each other, then everything is going to be fine. Capitalism, communism, name it. Just, it's all about us.
Okay, I suggest that Franco has a word on that, and then we go informal and close this event and continue outside or here in the hall, because I can sense that we can continue that in formal ways. But it's not about...
I'm not complaining, I just...
You are here or somewhere and you are able to say something and to use your brain, we have been very, very lucky. You know, the problem is that I think that in 50 years human civilization will be over. So this is the problem, not to elaborate about we are trying to understand what's the way to stay human. That's the problem now. And it seems difficult.
I think this neoliberal model of market economy is totally wrong. And we should change it, must change it, because it gives all opportunities for some people to get rich and make fortune, but other people became and become poor and poorer. There is no equality. Our rights are totally violated between people. And I think we should do something to go out of this situation. And the most important, debt is formed by the USA, because you know dollar is a reserve currency. And they use this privilege, Americans, they use this privilege to print dollars, and they increase their consumption, and printing money goes to this situation, because we are connected. All countries are in links, and we use dollars in the same way. So the first crisis started from the USA, and financial crisis from financial institutions, brokers, because printing money, giving them opportunity to get rich, and that's all. But I think, don't you think this model is wrong and we change it? But it isn't, there are several ways, several market economies, not only this neoliberal market connected with capitalism. Thank you.
I mean, you remind me that I forgot to talk about the Nixon's decision of breaking the relation between the dollar and the golden standard in 71 and so on and so on. You're right. You're totally right.
There
are but
there are a lot of opinions from different countries to change this reserve currency and divide several, two or three reserve monies, like money, like European, in the European euro, and Chinese, South,
I just,
East, South
thank you,
East.
Thank you for your opinion.
Area,
I just suggest we go informal,
but
and we can continue that conversation
sorry for
informally.
Thank you.
No, I'm not an economist, first of all, so I totally agree with you when you say that the decision which happened in 71, the decision of the Americans to break the relation with the golden standard, so to print as many dollars as they wanted, that's been the real beginning of the crisis which arrives nowadays to the end. What about the creation of different monetary standards? Frankly, I don't know. Frankly, I don't know. It's not my cup of tea.
I think universal money and reserve money should be grain or fresh water, nothing else.
Yeah, I mean something real.
Okay, I should suggest that we thank Franco for coming here and talking to us.